On the 4th of July, 1776, the First Continental Congress appointed a committee to come up with a new seal for the 13 independent states of America, an official seal. And the initial proposal was a seal that had on the left side of the seal a woman holding a torch, on the right side of the seal a man holding a gun, and then in between these two were 13 little shields, each one depicting one of the 13 original states of America. And then on the top of the seal was this triangle, and in the triangle was an eye. And that is a rather standard symbol for the all-seeing triune God. And the point of the symbol was is that it overlooks this new nation about to be formed. And then along the bottom of the seal was this banner. And on the banner were written these words, E pluribus unum, out of the many, one. Now the seal itself didn't catch on, really. But that banner and the phrase in that banner, E pluribus unum, sure did. Because that has become a part of the official seal of the United States of America. And you can see that seal, that phrase in that banner printed on all American currency. If you look at your coins, your dollars, your bills, it's there. E pluribus unum, out of the many, one. So America has always been this melting pot. To this day, toleration is a fundamental guiding principle of our life here together in this world, in this nation. So for example, when it comes to religion, there are laws in place to protect religious toleration in this country. The government cannot support one religion over another one. Although a few of the initial 13 colonies did have its own state church, the law of the land today is there can be no established national religion. Neither can there be any religion that establishes its own state. So there can be no state church, and there can be no church state. We are a nation that is based and built upon religious freedom. And we insist upon religious toleration. The goal of the nation is not to convert its citizens to one particular religion or another. The goal of the nation, the government, is to protect our freedom to worship any way we choose in any religion that we choose to worship. We hold to the principle of many different religions all living together under one national government. So with that bit of American civics and history in place, let's just think for a moment about just how this principle of E pluribus unum, out of the many one, is actually understood and carried out in our own day. Today I suggest that the phrase E pluribus unum, out of the many one, is often misunderstood, practiced in a way that was never originally intended. Today, I think many people actually interpret out of the many one like this. Out of the many, same. I played around with my little Latin dictionary here, just wondering what the Latin word for same might be. And I was delighted to find that the word for same is unus. And so the phrase is E pluribus unus instead of E pluribus unum. One little letter. That's all the difference there is. And yet the difference between out of the many one and out of the many same is a world of difference. Let's just do a little quick comparison of these two phrases. Out of the many one says nothing at all about the validity or the content of any religion. It just says that we tolerate one another's religious beliefs, whatever they might be. Out of the many, same, on the other hand, makes a critical judgment about the teaching of every religion. out of the many same, claims that it knows what all religions teach and claim, and that after a thorough evaluation of all of them, the judgment is that all religions are equally valid and equally true. All religions lead to the same God, even though they may do so by different ways. Maybe you've heard the famous mountain analogy at one time or another in your life. I can still remember my father teaching this to me as a little boy. The analogy pictures a mountain, and at the top of the mountain sits God, and at the bottom of the mountain is mankind. And the job of religion is to help man get to the top of the mountain and enjoy communion, fellowship with God. And different religions get to the top of the mountain in different ways. Some religions take you right straight up the mountain, right to communion with God. Other religions take a rather windy path around the mountain, and they go up and they go down and they go up and they go down. But the point is, all religions eventually end up at the same place in communion, fellowship with God. All roads lead to God. I don't know. Have you ever heard anyone tell you that they believe that all religions are essentially the same? Maybe they haven't said it just like that. Maybe they've said it in different ways. Maybe you've heard someone say, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you really believe. Or maybe they've expressed it a little bit more sharply than that. Maybe they've said, I just can't believe that God would be so narrow-minded as to only have one way in order to be saved. Maybe we've even heard this sort of philosophy seep down into the Christian faith itself. And maybe you've heard someone say to you, it doesn't really matter where you go to church as long as you go to church. So why have so many in our day and age adopted this principle, out of the many same, when it comes to religion? Because frankly, no one adopts this kind of philosophy when it comes to government or nationalities or politics or even baseball teams. But when it comes to religion, we insist that out of the many same. Let me just suggest one reason that I happen to think is the most prevalent and I think closest to and the most honest. The reason that we insist on our religion as being out of the many same is because we value peace more than we value truth. We all know about the terrible arguments and disagreements and even violence and bloodshed that arguments over and disagreements over religion cause. Why do we personally refrain from witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ with others as we do? It is because religion is one of those topics that has the potential for creating great tension and disagreement and even separation between people who are otherwise quite close to one another. Why is it that we like associating and having friends amongst those who go to the same church as we do? It is because we can talk about religion with one another amongst ourselves without any fear of there being any of those disagreements that cause the tension that we all love to avoid. So how do we deal with this tension between the many different religions that we live together with here in this country? The way that we deal with it is this. We say all religions are essentially the same. They are equally true. This is certainly one way to strive for peace on earth. But sadly, it is a peace that comes at the heavy price of the truth. This is certainly not a new approach to finding peace amongst ourselves. As far back as the 16th century, people were pleading with Martin Luther to shut up, to quit talking and teaching and preaching about the stuff that he was talking and teaching and preaching about, because it was going to create terrible upheaval and separation and division within the church. Luther was famous for replying, "Truth at all costs, peace whenever possible." Truth at all costs, peace whenever possible. Much, much earlier than the 16th century, all the way back into the days of the prophet Jeremiah, false prophets were ignoring the people's idolatry, declaring peace to God's people apart from any kind of true repentance and turning to faith. Jeremiah responds to their false preaching saying, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace." So how do we respond to someone who says to us, "I think that all religions are essentially the same," or, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you really believe"? I think that the question that I would want to ask in response to this kind of statement goes something like this. You say that all religions are essentially the same, then I can assume that you have investigated all religions and compared their truth claims against each other, one with another, and concluded after your thorough study here that all of them are equally valid. None of them conflict with one another. It's a loaded question, to be sure. The answer has got to be, no, I haven't actually compared the claims of one religion against the other. And in fact, I think, for as often as I've ever heard this said, if the truth be known, if someone were honest, they'd have to say, no, I haven't actually researched into the claims of any of these religions that I claim are all the same. It's just that I really feel that God could not be so doggone narrow-minded that he would only allow one way to be saved. But the truth of the matter is that there are significant differences in the claims of different religions that categorically conflict with one another. I've compiled a very short list based on my very narrow understanding of a few religions, just to make the point here. Buddhism categorically denies the existence of a personal God. Christianity affirms the existence of a personal God. Hinduism teaches the repeated reincarnation of the soul to a different earthly body over and over again. Christianity teaches that the earthly body is reunited to the same soul in heaven that it inhabited on earth. Classical Islam endorses the conversion of non-Muslims by subjugation and force if necessary, while classical Christianity forbids conversion by force and insists that believers treat unbelievers with the same love and kindness with which they would treat one another. So there are really only two possible ways of maintaining that all religions are essentially the same after doing just a bit of research into various religions. One is you got to ignore the clear contradictions between them by saying that they are really no contradiction at all. This requires a flight into pure fantasy. The second is to say that these contradictions are insignificant, that they're really not essential. Yes, they are contradictions, but they really don't matter. This requires stripping away so much of each religion until you're left with nothing more in each religion and the claims that it makes than one meaningless universal fatherhood of God and universal brotherhood of man. Neither of these two options is either honest or very helpful. So we've taken just a bit of time here to examine, analyze, the claim that all religions are essentially the same. Now I want to take just a few moments to examine the claim of Christianity and one particular claim that makes it unique and different than all other religions. The teaching that makes the Christian religion essentially different than every other religion is this. It is grace. Christianity is built upon the foundation of the God of grace towards mankind, or the grace of God towards mankind. No other religion teaches that God is gracious and merciful and loving towards mankind except Christianity. The grace of God, or God's grace, these are terms that we use a lot among ourselves, and sometimes I'm afraid we may use them so much that we, after a while, sort of lose track of what they actually mean. A good definition for grace would be this. Grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. The central premise of the Christian religion is that God saves men and women, boys and girls, solely because of God. We are saved by God's grace alone. Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." To the Romans, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So let's explore this concept of grace just to be sure that this that is so fundamental to what we believe, we understand. First, let's rule out what this teaching rules out. Salvation by grace alone rules out any teaching, any claims that God saves us because of some merit or worthiness in us. It rules out the teaching or any claims that God saves us because of some transformation or change that we have undergone in our life. It rules out that God saves us because he foresaw that we would eventually come one day to faith in Jesus Christ. No other religion is based on the premise that God saves simply because God is gracious and merciful and loving. Every other religion teaches that God saves because of something in man, his obedience, his faith, his goodness, or his ancestry. But Christianity says that all mankind is exactly the same in the eyes of God, that there is no difference, no distinction between one or the other. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. That's the way God sees us. No difference. So it's not that God changes us so that he may save us. God saves us solely by the forgiveness of our sins. The change comes afterward, or at least it better. But our salvation is based solely on God's complete and total forgiveness. And just to be sure that we understand this, let's press on it just a bit harder. It is not that God is gracious simply because God is God, and he has the power and the authority to treat men and women any way he darn well pleases. And if he chooses to forgive our sins by putting them away as far as the east is from the west, then he has the right to do so because he is God. That is not what the Christian faith teaches. It teaches that God is gracious for the sake of Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice and substitutionary death on the cross. We are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God declares the unrighteous to be righteous. He is the judge that simply declares that the guilty is innocent. But he does so because the truly righteous man has taken the place of the truly unrighteous one. And the truly innocent one has taken all of the punishment of the truly guilty one upon himself. He is the one who came down the mountain to enter into communion with sinful men and women, because sinful men and women cannot climb the mountain to him. The cause of our salvation, according to the Christian religion, is rooted solely, entirely in God, not in the least bit in man. God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. The fundamental teaching of the Christian faith that we have a gracious God who saves us by grace alone is the basis for all of the other significant differences between Christianity and every other religion as well. It is the basis for the Trinitarian nature of God, the creation of the universe by God's powerful word, the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. All of this, and so much more, is unique to the Christian faith and is all rooted in the teaching that God is gracious towards mankind and that he saves and redeems us by grace alone. It seems to me that when we confront those who say things like all religions are essentially the same, with this unique difference about the Christian faith, about the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then we are offering them not an argument, not something that divides, but a marvelous improvement over anything else that they could possibly embrace. In fact, when we tell them that the Christian religion is unique because it is based on a gracious God who loves mankind, we are offering them both real peace and real truth.